Next on the program, let's turn our attention to international politics. For weeks, we've heard of a potential ceasefire in the Middle East, but it is as elusive now as it's ever been. As we've been sharing, the latest development is Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dissolved his war cabinet. Meantime, the humanitarian situation in Gaza spirals downward. For context on both of the evolving situations, we have reached Jamie Levin this morning. He's a professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University in Halifax. Good morning.
Good morning.
So obviously we've heard the news on this, and we've heard on World Report. But can you give us some more detail about why Netanyahu dismantled his war cabinet?
Yeah, absolutely. He dismantled the war cabinet because it had already effectively stopped functioning. As of last week, it really was a war cabinet in name only. That cabinet had previously included Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot of the centrist National Unity Party. They were two moderates, and they bolted last week after an ultimatum they had given Netanyahu expired. They had demanded that Netanyahu provide a plan for the quote-unquote day after. In other words, a clear path to ending Hamas rule, returning the remaining Israeli hostages, and establishing some sort of multinational administration in Gaza, which would allow Israel to wind the war down. But more broadly, I would say they left because the national consensus in Israel has begun to fray. It's been nearly 9 months of war, and much of the country has simply lost faith in Netanyahu's leadership. Israelis are broadly frustrated that the war hasn't managed to defeat Hamas or return the hostages. And since the dissolution of the war cabinet, we've seen massive protests in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem calling for early elections.
So what happens to war planning now?
Well, I think it's important to note here that despite the protests, Netanyahu retains a firm grasp on power. He may have just lost 8 seats with the resignation of the centrist party, but he still retains a majority in the Knesset. It's a slim majority, 64 seats out of 120, but it's still a majority. So what he started to do is reassemble what might be considered a replacement war cabinet. And it's rumored to include mostly Netanyahu loyalists and largely, though not entirely, what are thought to be moderating voices. In other words, those advocating for an end to the war, a ceasefire, and a return of the hostages. But conspicuously absent so far are Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. These are the ultra-nationalist religious Zionists. They were not part of the previous war cabinet because they're very much outside of the national consensus in Israel. The question is, will they be included in this one?
And the negotiation of a ceasefire and the release of the hostages that, as you mentioned, Netanyahu has, you said Israelis are becoming fatigued with the fact that Netanyahu has not been able to achieve either of those goals, to defeat, you were saying Hamas or the release of the mm-hmm. hostages. But what does it actually mean for any hope of a ceasefire negotiation, do you think, to start with that?
Okay, so I think it all depends on where Netanyahu lands on this new war cabinet. And I think there are two potential outcomes here. The first is a future war cabinet that does include Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, the far-right voices. They would counterbalance any moderates, those people who would pursue a ceasefire and hostage release aggressively. In other words, if Smotrich and Ben-Gvir are included, it would signal an extreme rightward shift, not merely a continuation of the war, but probably an expansion of Israel's war aims. The second possibility is that the cabinet excludes Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. This gives Netanyahu far more latitude to pursue a ceasefire agreement and a release of the hostages. And if he manages to bring the hostages home, I think he's likely going to witness a bump in the polls. But regardless of where Netanyahu lands on building this new war cabinet, Smotrich and Ben-Gvir have threatened to leave the coalition if Netanyahu accepts a ceasefire, and that would almost certainly lead to an early election. And it's an election in which neither he nor Smotrich or Ben-Gvir would likely do well, at least according to recent polling. So it's something of a suicide pact.
Meantime, there's still desperate need for more humanitarian supplies in Gaza. What is the latest situation there?
Well, you're right. It continues to very much be desperate. Humanitarian aid is very much needed, yet remains quite short. Israel has announced that it will implement a daily pause in the fighting in the most affected southern regions of Gaza to allow for the increased delivery of aid. But this announcement has come on the backdrop of two important UN claims. Yesterday, the UN announced that Gaza has become the most dangerous place in the world for aid workers, and they released a report stating that two-thirds of all the roads in the Strip have been damaged or destroyed. So regardless of this daily pause, humanitarian aid is still going to be difficult to deliver.
What's the U.S. responded? We heard a little bit as well on World Report, but can you elaborate a bit on the U.S.'s response to all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. The Americans have a very clear interest in seeing this war end and seeing it end quickly. And I think Biden in particular has a clear interest in this. The American interest doesn't want to see the war spiral. It doesn't want to see Israeli war aims grow. It doesn't want to see a second or a third front open, which could very much have the effect of dragging the U.S. into a regional war, a war that could itself escalate into unthinkable proportions. And I think there is a genuine desire amongst the U.S. foreign policy establishment both to see the return of the Israeli hostages and to alleviate the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. And I think for President Biden, the war has become a personal millstone. He suffered in the polls amongst young Democrats and left Democrats, and a speedy resolution would help him in the upcoming elections against Donald Trump. So the American administration, I think, has very clearly tilted towards the moderating voices in Israel, and they've even dangled the promise of a visit to the White House if Netanyahu accepts a ceasefire deal.
Thank you very much, James, for your analysis this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That's James Levin, political science professor at St. Francis Xavier University. Your next national and international news.